Yeah.
I skipped pretty much my whole morning.
I'm not sure you'll get it, but get here on time.
Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see everybody here this morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Carolyn Ruda, and I thought we would start off the morning with something really fun, the draw for the raffle basket, or two baskets. So Bernice is going to come up and do that. Do you want the
is it on? So we'll mix it all up, and then you draw one. Just pick one. Don't look. Is she here today?
Oh, no, that's nice.
Oh, isn't that nice? Okay, draw another one. And Tracy Belanger. Don't know.
Oh.
Okay. Who? Oh, is that right? Okay, we've got the two.
So it'll be in the bulletin later on, the total amount that was raised by the raffle basket. But once again, I didn't win. My goodness. And the other fun thing this morning, of course, is it's birthday Sunday. So there'll be cupcakes at the back for you after church. And then there are some announcements that aren't in the bulletin, because I know each of you read the bulletin completely. But Reverend Aaron's medical leave has been extended till January the 12th. So, but pulpit supply will be continued to be Ruth Batinga and myself, and we have everything. We have all of the services mapped out. So, and you'll notice there's an insert in your bulletin. And it is for a special congregational meeting. And this will take place on Sunday, December the 14th at 11:30. Now, this is a meeting with the city housing and that about that empty space that we have in the parking lot at the back that we don't use at all. So this is a golden opportunity for us. I hope all of you will come to that meeting because we need your voices. And the city officials will be here to explain everything to you and answer your questions and that. But it is one way we are going to be able to really live out our vision of helping build a city where no one journeys alone. So mark that on your calendars. But then you can stay for 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We are going to have the quiet Christmas worship service on December the 14th at 3 p.m. So this is a worship service that we do during Advent every year for those that find the holidays difficult due to grief or loss or loneliness. It's being able to be there for a service to provide a space to find solace and find peace and hope with Christ who shines his light even in the darkness. So ladies, there's still time to sign up for the lunch on December the 9th at the Best Western. It's all the women of the congregation. So come out and be with that. And the sign-up sheet is on the flip chart back there. And also, I want to draw your attention to our Christmas project, because it's kind of different this year. There's inserts at the back, flyers at the back about it, and it was in the bulletin last week, and it is again this week. It's the Children's Christmas Fund. And besides the toys for the children, there is a hamper of food that goes to, and they are committed to, 116,000 families. Just think about that. 16,000. Yeah, 16, people. 16. Just think about it in our community, eh? 116,000 people.
1,600.
I know
I read it last week.
1,600. Sorry, I got the. Yeah. I'm mixing up how much money they need with 1,600 families. Okay, but still, that's a large amount of families in our community. They need 119,000. And right at the moment, they are short 50,000. Now, they don't expect us to come up with the 50,000, but they are hoping that we will be able to contribute. So you can put it on your offering envelope and you'll get a tax receipt.
Can I just say one? Sorry. Finance here. Yes, please, by all means, you can put it on your envelope, but identify it as Christmas project or children's Christmas basket or however you want to describe it. If you just put Christmas, we appreciate that as well, because we often get donations at Christmas time towards the general operation of the church. So be sure you specify if it's just Christmas or if it's the Christmas project. Thank you.
Okay, but we are really, really, really hoping that you'll get behind this, as you do with so many of the other Christmas projects that we have had. And I know that you will read, the offering envelopes for next year are on the table at the back, and I know that you will read the rest of the announcements. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Carolyn and Bev and everyone. It just shows us it takes many hands to make a church work. So thank you to everyone. So welcome to everyone from myself. My name is Ruth Pentenga, and I'm glad to be up here again this week. If you're joining us online, welcome to you as well. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the very beginning of the church year or liturgical calendar. So, Happy New Year. Some of the prayers and our second hymn today are from the Advent package that Knox St. Paul's chose to purchase this year from A Sanctified Art. And one other housekeeping item, anything you see up on the screen that is in all capital letters is for everyone to say together. So now we'll recognize our territory. As we gather on this day of worship, on the first Sunday of Advent, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for their connection to Earth and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities.
Sounds like a train.
On Sundays and Mondays, early in the morning and very late at night,
here in this room and out in the world, God, we long for you to break in.
Meet us in this space.
Surprise us with your presence.
Fill this room with your good news.
With hope we sing, we worship, we pray.
Amen. We are partners, participants in the work of God.
Together we are committed to help build a city where no one journeys alone.
Let's pray together. Holy One, you come to us not in thunder, but in stillness, not in certainty, but in hope. In this season of waiting, we lift before you a world that groans for renewal. Yet you whisper through Isaiah's dream, through Jesus' call to stay awake, and through the song of the river's own, peace is possible, life is still flowing. May this Advent be for us a river carrying us from despair toward delight, from numbness toward awareness, from darkness toward the light of Christ, in whom all creation is made whole again. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who comes quietly, who comes always, who comes still. Amen. We can't have the first Sunday of Advent without singing, O come, O come, Emmanuel. So let's stand together and sing.
Ransom captive Israel. This is the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is the courage to look at the world as it is and still believe that love can make it new. Isaiah dreamed of a day when they shall beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It was a vision of transformation, of turning what harms into what heals. Robert McFarlane asks, is a river alive? The answer is yes. The rivers of earth flow with God's breath, still calling us to hope, to tenderness, to peace. Holy One, may the light of this candle be the dawn of your peace among us. Keep us awake, keep us willing, and keep us hopeful as we wait for the coming.
We lift the candle of hope. May it shine in our hearts,
in our church, and in the rivers of the world. Amen.
Ever-present God,
we long to feel you close.
We long to feel your presence in our lives. We long for you to break through the chaos and suffering of this world. Forgive our rushing and distractions. Forgive our wandering heart and center us in this space. Remind us that even in the time of Herod, even on the longest nights, you are always there.
Amen.
Family of faith, even when we doubt God's presence, even when we fail to notice God's fingerprints on this world, God is always moving closer to us. Hear and believe the good news. This Advent season.
Nothing can keep God's love away. We are seen, we are forgiven, we are not alone. Amen.
So now we'll sing the first two verses of In the Time of Herod.
Thank you.
Now is the time in our service where we invite anyone and everyone who's young at heart to come forward if you so wish. Yeah. So good morning, friends. As I said, it's the first Sunday in Advent, and it's a time when we get ready for Jesus to come. And our Bible story from Isaiah talks about something amazing, turning swords into plowshares. Does anyone know what a sword is? You can just nod. Yeah. Swords are generally used as things to harm, or probably always. Sometimes people have them mounted on a wall just for looks, but swords are not really things that are bearing good news, right? So what about a plowshare? No idea. Yeah, well, I had to learn exactly what that was myself. So here's a picture of a plowshare. Now, it's actually this part, the bigger red part down here, the part that actually cuts into the soil. That's the plowshare. We've heard of plows before, perhaps, but that apparently is the plowshare. And I've heard that Bible passage for years and never looked it up either, so don't feel guilty. No, maybe you all know. So I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to ask for your help. So this one is number two. I'm going to give you number two, and I'm going to give you number one, and you're going to hold them up for everybody to see when I tell you, okay? You get number three, and you get number four. So you get the evens, and you get the odds, all right? So you're just going to hold them up high when the time comes. You're going to show them to the choir. Don't forget the choir and everyone else. So in a little village between two hills, there was a blacksmith named Mara. One morning, the village elders came to Mara with a bunch of swords they found in an old fort. And they said to her, "We'd like you to melt these swords down in your blacksmith fire." "To make new swords?" she asked. "No," they said, "we want you to make plows and tools and shovels and rakes, things that will be used for life." Mara nodded and lit her blacksmith fire. Some curious children watched her work as she turned the swords into shining tools. "What are you making?" one child asked. "Something better," Mara answered. "What are the tools for?" another child whispered. "They help seeds grow," she answered. "Peace often begins that way. So let's show the melting down of the sword into a plowshare that Mara was doing. Just so we have a visual. I'm a visual person. So let's show number two now of the actual, which I already kind of showed people, but the plowshare. Thank you so much. You're doing great, you guys. So when the tools were finished, the villagers gathered in the field, and the sun glinted off the new plowshare as an elder passed it through the soil, carving its first deep groove. A child tugged at Mara's sleeve. "Do you think changing swords into tools really matters?" Mara smiled and said, "When tools grow food, people share meals. When they share meals, they understand one another. Peace isn't only stopping harm, it's choosing to build something good." The children watched as neat lines of earth were turned over, with the tools that were once swords, making the field ready for planting seeds. You want to hold it up a bit more for a little longer? Yeah. Thank you, Dominic. Then the people began to plant the seeds in the soil, and new life would begin to grow. Let's pray together. God of hope, thank you for the tools that help us help earth bring life out of soil. Help us to turn hurt into healing and make peace flow everywhere. Amen. Thank you.
With us, God, in the time of Moses, you spoke through water in the desert and a pillar of smoke. In the time of the judges, you spoke through the prophets. In the time of Herod, you spoke through angel choruses and unlikely miracles. In every time you have been speaking, so today in our time, we ask that you speak again. Break through the chatter and the distraction of our weary minds and speak to us once more. With hope we pray. Amen. Here in our first focus lesson from Isaiah, the word of the Lord admonishes people against violence, teaching instead the way of peace. And it is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, "In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." In our second focus lesson from Matthew, without warning, both death and salvation come to us. Vigilance, watchfulness is required, for the unexpected is inevitable. And it is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us. "I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone."
Thank you, Kim. I invite us to pray. Creator God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you. Amen. The first Sunday of Advent launches a season of waiting, of watching, of beginning again. But Advent doesn't begin with twinkling lights and cozy carols. It begins in the dark. It begins with Isaiah's aching vision and with Jesus' unsettling words, "You do not know on what day the Lord is coming." Both Isaiah and Jesus speak to people living in anxious times. In Isaiah's day, nations were at war. The earth itself was trembling under the weight of empire. In Jesus' time, people lived under Roman occupation, longing for liberation. In our time, the air is thick with grief and fear. War still rages. Genocide is condoned. Greed is rampant. The planet groans. Rivers run dry. And the future feels fragile. And yet, into this uncertainty, Advent calls us not to flee from the dark, but to stand within it, to light a small candle and say, something new is coming. God is telling us, don't flee from the dark, stand within it, light a candle, because something new is coming. Our lectionary reading for today made me think of a book by Robert McFarlane. Robert McFarlane is a celebrated writer who has spent a storied career putting language to the places where landscape and emotion intersect. He's also a poet, lyricist, and professor at the University of Cambridge in England. Recently, McFarlane's focus has turned to the legal and indigenous movement advocating for the rights of nature. At the heart of his new book, entitled Is a River Alive?, is a single transformative idea that rivers are not mere matter for human use, but are living beings who should be recognized as such, both in imagination and law. The book Is a River Alive? Is a clear, persuasive call to recenter our stories, law, and politics. This luminous book invites us to radically reimagine not only rivers, but life itself. At the heart of this vital, beautiful book is the recognition that our fate flows with that of rivers, and always has. McFarlane writes, muscular, willful, worshipped, and mistreated, rivers have long existed in the threshold between geology and theology. Isaiah dreams of a day when all nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. It's a curious image, streams flowing uphill. Rivers don't usually do that. But Isaiah's vision isn't about what's likely. It's about what's possible with God. It's a vision that overturns gravity, the pull of violence, greed, and despair, and imagines creation flowing toward peace instead of destruction. McFarlane asks whether we can think of rivers as beings rather than objects, alive, possessing their own kind of spirit, their own song. He writes that when we treat rivers as living entities, rather than resources, we begin to sense our relationship in the world differently, our relationship to the world differently. What if Isaiah's vision is not only about human peace, but about cosmic restoration? What if the mountain of the Lord is the restored earth itself? And the streaming of the nations of the Lord, the streaming of the nations is creation's long return to harmony. When we turn our swords, our tools of harm, into plowshares, we're not only ending war, we're allowing the living river to flow freely again. Isaiah's swords are iron and steel. Ours are engines and smokestacks, fossil fuels, clear-cutting Earth's vital forests to create pasture land to grow livestock for cheap meat, systems that profit from ruin, scarcity, and division. Our modern warfare is often waged against the planet itself. The rivers carry our waste. The atmosphere absorbs our excess. The seas now echo with emptiness where life once surged. We have treated earth as though it were not alive, as though it were not a thing to be used rather than a body to be cherished. McFarlane reminds us that the river remembers. It carries not only the memory of glaciers and rainfall, but of our pollutants, our negligence, our choices. In this way, creation holds our moral history. Isaiah's ancient cry meets us here. Beat your swords into plowshares. In our time, that might sound like turn gas pipelines into water lines, turn militaries into relief agencies, turn extraction such as mining, fishing, deforestation into restoration, turn indifference into reverence. This transformation is not symbolic. It's the very heartbeat of God's coming reign. It's Advent work. It's Advent work. Jesus says in Matthew, "About that day and hour, no one knows. Therefore, keep awake." We could hear this passage as a warning, a fearful reminder that God could arrive at any moment, but I rather encourage us to see it as an invitation to stay awake to life itself. The coming one awakens us. Advent waiting is not passive. It's not about sitting in the dark and wringing our hands. It's about paying attention. Paying attention to the small, surprising places where God's kingdom is already being born. In a world that numbs itself with noise and consumption, staying awake is a radical act. Staying awake is a radical act. When we pay attention, we start to see God in the river that still runs, in the child who still dreams, in the protester who plants trees where one was cut down, in the community that refuses to give up on peace. The coming one awakens us. Maybe no one knows the day or the hour because the coming of God is not a single event. It's an unfolding, a continual birth that happens every time love interrupts despair. Advent is the practice of waiting with intention. Not waiting for something to happen, but waiting for something that is already happening. Isaiah's vision isn't a distant fantasy, it's a roadmap for how to live now. To walk in the light of the Lord means to live as though the mountain has already risen, as though peace has already come. What if our waiting this Advent looks like choosing simplicity over consumption, repairing what's been broken, honoring the aliveness of rivers, trees, and soil, making peace not only between people, but between people and planet. In a time of climate degradation, this waiting is urgent. Creation doesn't need our pity, it needs our partnership. Creation needs us to reimagine ourselves not as masters of Earth, but as kin within it. McFarlane's book title asks the question, is a river alive? The answer is yes. The river is alive. And when we listen, we hear God's Advent song running through it, soft, persistent, unstoppable. The coming one awakens us. Jesus uses a strange image in Matthew. If the owner of the house had known what time the thief was coming. The coming of God, he says, is like a thief in the night, unexpected, intrusive, disruptive. But that's not the warm image we expect for Advent. But maybe it's exactly right. Because God's arrival always disrupts. It breaks in and steals away what we thought we needed, our complacency, our false security, our illusions of control, and in their place, God leaves something better. Clarity, tenderness, courage. Maybe that's what's being stolen from us in this season. It's the idea that we continue as we are, that we can keep living in disharmony with a living world and still expect peace to come. Advent's thief doesn't take our joy, it takes our numbness. It takes the sleep from our eyes so that we might wake and see the dawn. The coming one awakens us. Isaiah ends his vision with an invitation. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Advent begins here, with movement, with intention, with a people who choose to walk toward hope, even when they can't yet see it. We walk toward the mountain. We walk toward the living river. We walk toward the Christ who comes not in power, but in vulnerability, a tiny baby. The Christ who comes not in domination, but in love. Christ who comes in love. As we walk, we bring what we have, our tools for harm to be reshaped, our habits of despair to be redeemed, our small acts of care to be multiplied. We walk because we believe that peace is not a naive dream, but the most realistic response to a God who refuses to give up on creation. Advent hope is not optimism. It doesn't deny the darkness. It lights a candle within it. It says, yes, the rivers are polluted, but they're not beyond healing. Yes, the world is burning, but love is stronger than fire. Yes, the hour is late, but Christ still comes. Advent hope lights a candle within the darkness. God knows what God is doing. The coming one awakens us, and so we keep awake. We pay attention. We watch for the moments when violence turns to nourishment, when a sword becomes a plowshare, when a weapon becomes a well, when despair becomes a song. Friends, this Advent, may we be people who turn swords into rivers. May we channel our energy into healing. May we honor the livingness of creation, the holiness of rivers, soil, wind, and light. May we let Christ, who comes to us as a thief in the night, stealing away our fear and leaving us awake and alive. May we walk together toward the mountain of peace, carrying our hope like a candle, trusting that even now, the river of God is flowing through the world, making all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we'll stand and sing our responsive hymn, Called by Earth and Sky.
Called by earth and sky, rose of hope, bell.
Now is the time in our service for faith sharing, and that means that you are welcome to come up and share something that inspired you today, this week, where God was at work. It's up to you, and if you no one has anything to share, then we'll sit in holy silence for a moment.
Shirley Wellman, we had the privilege among one of our postings to live on the banks of the Miramichi. It's one of the great rivers of eastern Canada. And where we were living, it was probably very close to half a mile wide. And I had an occasion one night, one snowy night, to have to go down to the river to follow a pet. And I found it in hiding out on the ice inside a baby carriage, along with an awful lot of other garbage. And my heart has ached for the mistakes we have made. People have thought that this world was for our use, without considering any damage we might be doing along the way. Now, the good people who'd thrown all their garbage over the edge and down onto the ice were saving themselves from the cost of garbage pickup, because they were charged for it, without realizing what we were doing to our world. Because at that time, the wonderful Miramichi that had been plentiful with salmon, with oysters, with clams. The salmon was disappearing, the oysters were gone, and if the rest of that poor river was suffering what I saw, it was little wonder. But I see hope, because since that was a long time ago, that was back in 1969, we are learning about ecology. We are learning how to use and love our land. And we are learning that we are here as stewards, not as reapers, to respect and love God's creation. Bless the rivers and bless us each one.
Let's stand and bring forth the rocks that have been prayed upon and the generous giving of our community, not forgetting that we're not seeing all of it here today, for much of it comes in volunteer contributions and so much. So please stand. Gracious God, in this season of waiting, of watching, of beginning again, we offer these gifts for nourishing what is. And as Advent reminds us to keep watch for something new is coming, we're given our many ways for what is to come. May these gifts of time, talent, and treasure sustain, strengthen, and bring hope and joy into the lives of our neighbors around the world and here at home. Amen. When we get to the prayer of Jesus, I invite you to begin with Our Father if you so wish. Or you could try Our Father and Mother or Our Creator. It's up to you how you address God. Let's pray together. God, as the coming one awakens us, we begin to understand again that Advent returns us to the promise of peace, which comes to us not as a treaty or command, but as a person. God, as the coming one awakens us, we pray for those closest to us, those in our midst, those further away, and those far beyond our gaze. God of Advent beginnings, as we lit the first candle of hope, we turn our hearts toward your promised day, a day when nations learn peace and we walk together in the light of your love. Isaiah tells us of a mountain where weapons are remade into tools for growing life. Turn our hearts into that mountain, toward that mountain, where we can carry anger and hammer it into patience, where we hold grudges, shape them into compassion, where our world clings to violence and fear, teach us to seek paths of understanding and peace. Christ, who comes quietly and unexpectedly, keep us awake to the signs of your presence. Awake us to the needs of our neighbors. Awake us to the lonely and the grieving. Awake us to the struggling and the stressed. Awake us to the hope that flickers even in dark places. Help us not to sleepwalk through our days, but to live alert, attentive, and ready to love. God of hope, we pray for this world you love, for places torn by conflict, for communities affected by climate disasters, for leaders who make decisions that shape many lives and earth. Guide us all with wisdom, steady us all with courage, and turn us toward the way of peace. We pray for our own community, for those who are ill, waiting for tests or treatment, for those facing financial strain, for families navigating stress, for those caring for another, for anyone who feels unseen or overwhelmed, wrap them in your comfort and strength. Holy One, as Advent begins, make space within us for your coming, not only in the manger long ago, but here and now, in our choices, in our relationships, and in the hope we dare to carry. May we walk in your light, and may your light shine through us for the sake of the world you so love. In the name of Jesus, our dawn and our hope, the coming one who awakens us, we take a moment of silence to lift up those in our hearts, including each other and our minister, Aaron. For all we are, all we can be, and all we will be, we pray to you, God, with hopeful hearts. And now let us share together the prayer that Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is God of the Bible, otherwise known as Fresh as the Morning.
God of the Bible, God of the Bible.
also a reminder, it's Birthday Sunday, and we celebrate anyone who has had a birthday in the month of November, so please come forward if you have, and we can celebrate you. And as people are coming, November birthday people are coming forward, reminder that there are cupcakes at the back for anyone who wants a cupcake. Three of you. Lean month. Happy birthday to you. Go now in hope. Go with hearts open to the light that is dawning, minds open to the river that is alive, and spirits open to the Christ who is coming. May we turn the swords of fear into the tools of love, and may our lives become a stream of peace. Remember, the coming one awakens us.